You're listening to the Podcast Network. Listen, learn, evolve.
There's a way, such a better way. Today, today. Raise your voice, tell the world there's a better way. Today, there's a better way. Ooh, there's a way, such a better way. Today, today. Now raise your voice, tell the world there's a better way. Today there's a better way.
Hi, this is Rod Adams, and it's finally time for show number 128. Taking a little bit of time off, actually it's stretched into about 6 weeks now, and I kind of was waiting. Been kind of busy, but waiting until somebody indicated that they were missing the show. Got an email this morning from a listener who said, "Please, Rod, provide us another Atomic show." Actually, didn't say that, but that's what I translated it to. So here it is. It's March 29th, 2009, 30 years and one day after the accident at Three Mile Island caused a partial meltdown of the reactor. All of the material that melted was, not surprisingly, contained within the reactor vessel, which is well away from the reactor containment. Talked over the years to people who were actually involved in the effort to chip away and analyze what happened at Three Mile Island. More than one half of the core material melted to the bottom of the pressure vessel, but the total penetration into that pressure vessel was a few millimeters, far different from what people talk about when they talk about the China syndrome, in which somehow the molten material gets past all of the many, many barriers that keep it from impacting the general public. One of the things I'd like to really try to make clear when I talk to people is that nuclear professionals recognize that many bad things can happen. We know that, pumps break, that electricity doesn't always flow, that breakers open, that valves fail to shut, that pipes can develop holes. We know all those things. We're very practical-minded people who, in many cases, have had years' worth of experience with machinery and have recognized that although it's nice to have machinery, and machinery makes life far more pleasant than it would be without it, we also spend enough time fixing the darn stuff to know that things do happen. So what we do, or what engineers and operators do, is they try to erect multiple barriers to the problems causing serious consequences outside of the barriers. Try to prevent accidents from spreading, try to erect places where there's backup systems, where there are multiple indications, multiple boundaries, backups, fallbacks, belt and suspenders, whatever you want to say. The fact of the matter is that people who operate and design big machinery tend to be very cautious. Part of the reason is they know that they have a tremendous amount of money tied up in that large capital equipment, and they try to make it so that nothing will really happen that will completely destroy their investment. One of the real negative consequences of Three Mile Island was, in fact, the reactor plant was destroyed, at least to the point where it never restarted. There were many pieces of equipment there at Three Mile Island that probably could have been recovered and reused. And as a matter of fact, I don't know, maybe some of them were. Maybe some of the pumps and valves and pieces of the steam plant turned into spare parts for other plants. One of the things that encouraged me to get back on the microphone and share a little bit of thoughts with you today is listen to Democracy Now! Yesterday while working out at the gym. And oh, by the way, yesterday was the 28th, the 30th anniversary, and I'm such an atomic geek that I greeted my wife first thing in the morning with happy anniversary, and she looked at me very quizzically, and I told her, and she just kind of rolled her eyes and said, "You're such a geek. That who would celebrate the fact that it's that Three Mile Island happened?" Well, to me, the continued repetition by people who are against nuclear power that Three Mile Island is the worst accident that ever happened to the United States nuclear power industry. It's a tragedy. It's a catastrophe. Every time they say that, I say, yep, you're right. It is the very worst thing that has ever happened to us. And by the way, it wasn't all that bad. Nobody got killed. Nobody even got hurt. And a single plant was destroyed. Certainly put some people out of business, but it was a great learning experience. And hey, as some of my friends who are pilots say, any learning experience that you can walk away from is a good one. So, but not everybody agrees. There are some deniers out there who deny all science, deny all legal actions, and continue to claim that people died at Three Mile Island. And not surprisingly, one of those people is my old friend and the guy that I have often called an idiot, Harvey Wasserman, was on Democracy Now! Yesterday with some really bizarre claims about the fact that people died. Well, I'm kind of like some folks who say, show me the money. And when somebody says, people died, I want to say, show me the bodies. Show me the death certificates. Show me the names, as a matter of fact. Point to those people who, as a direct consequence of the loss of coolant accident at Three Mile Island, actually suffered any kind of injury or death. There we have in this country a legal process, and for many years, people who wanted to claim victimization from Three Mile Island have tried to access the legal system, done everything they could to try to prove that they were, in fact, harmed by the accident, and they've been thrown out of court on a number of occasions because of the overwhelming body of evidence that shows that the radiation releases from the accident were very low, and none of them were large enough to cause any injury. And when people like Wasserman start listing the things that they found during, quote, interviews of people in the general public near the area, they expose their ignorance and lack of science and their ability to deny almost anything. So let me play a little bit of clips from Harvey Wasserman's visit with Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez of Democracy Now! And again, as an aside, I happen to enjoy the show. I tend to be a very progressive, liberal-leaning person. I just have a real hard time sometimes with the complete myopic nature of the way that some people on the left view nuclear power. But anyway, here's some of the clips, and I'll intersperse some commentary along with them.
We'll also be going throughout Ohio, to the University of Ohio. We'll be going to Columbus. And Juan, that's where we're going right now to talk to our next guest.
Yes. Well, 30 years ago this Saturday, the Three Mile Island nuclear reactor at Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, malfunctioned, sparking a meltdown that resulted in the release of radioactivity.
Of course, it's possible in a free press for journalists to say almost anything they want to say. But here is a quote from the Nuclear Regulatory Commission website that describes Three Mile Island. I'll give you a link in the show notes. It's a Three Mile Island fact sheet. In the months following the accident, although questions were raised about possible adverse effects from radiation on human, animal, and plant life in the TMI area, none could be directly correlated to the accident. Thousands of environmental samples of air, water, milk, vegetation, soil, and foodstuffs were collected by various groups monitoring the area. Very low levels of radionuclides could be attributed to releases from the accident. However, comprehensive investigations and assessments by several well-respected organizations have concluded that in spite of serious damage to the reactor, most of the radiation was contained and that the actual release had negligible effects on the physical health of individuals or the environment.
It was the worst nuclear accident in U.S. history. In the pre-dawn hours of March 28, 1979, the cooling system of Three Mile Island's Unit 2 reactor malfunctioned, causing temperatures inside to skyrocket. Without water to cool them, more than half of the reactor's 36,000 nuclear fuel rods ruptured. Lieutenant Governor William Scranton first appeared on local TV and told residents there was no need to evacuate.
And quite honestly, that was terrific advice. There was no need to evacuate. In fact, evacuation caused additional stresses and health effects that should have been avoided.
But advised all citizens within 10 miles of the plant to stay indoors with their windows closed. Pennsylvania Governor Richard Thornburgh then evacuated pregnant women and small children living within 5 miles of the plant. Some estimate that well over 100,000 people fled Harrisburg and the surrounding areas. The evening of March 28, 1979, famed news anchor Walter Cronkite opened his nightly newscast on CBS by calling the disaster, quote, the first step in a nuclear nightmare. For the next 4 days, the nation and the world feared a full-scale meltdown would follow. This is an excerpt of Cronkite's broadcast on March 30th.
Good evening. The world has never known a day quite like today. It faced the considerable uncertainties and dangers of the worst nuclear power plant accident of the atomic age.
I'm regularly encouraged by the fact that Cronkite's statement remains true today, more than 30 years after the accident occurred. As a believer in Murphy's Law is the one that says that if something bad can happen, it will. To me, one corollary of that is, if you can go for 30 years without that something bad happening, the chances of it happening are pretty low. Because, again, it's 30 years worth of operation with 104 plants, many, many people, and we haven't made the same mistake again. So that should be encouraging to everyone.
And the horror tonight is that it could get much worse. It is not an atomic explosion that is feared. The experts say that is impossible. But the specter was raised of perhaps the next most serious kind of nuclear catastrophe, a massive release of radioactivity. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission cited that possibility with an announcement that, while it is not likely, the potential is there for the ultimate risk of a meltdown at the Three Mile Island atomic power plant outside Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Once again, a meltdown did occur at Three Mile Island, yet the melted material did not leave the reactor pressure vessel, did not even begin to penetrate the 7-inch thick steel vessel, did not try to leave that vessel and enter the containment, and certainly did not make its way into the environment. To me, that's pretty encouraging news.
The accident at Three Mile Island fueled the nuclear debate in this country that continues to rage to this day. We're joined now by Democracy Now! Video stream by anti-nuclear activist and editor of NukeFree.org, Harvey Wasserman. Harvey, welcome to Democracy Now! On this eve of the 30th anniversary of Three Mile Island, what do you think it's most important for people to understand? There's some people listening right now who weren't even born in 1979.
I do think it's kind of cool that Amy Goodman introduced Harvey as an anti-nuclear activist. I am a bit disappointed, though, because he's the only guest invited into this segment, as you'll hear later. But anyway, it's important for people to know that is his job. He is an anti-nuclear activist, and that's okay in an adversarial economic and legal system like ours. It's good that we have people who are identified as that. All we need is some pro-nuclear activists, and I'm willing to be called that. Call me a pro-nuclear activist, but please write to people like Amy Goodman and say, why don't you invite some pro-nuclear activists onto your shows to provide a little bit of journalistic balance?
What's important to understand is that people were killed in this accident. The nuclear industry continues to spread the lie that no one was harmed. In fact, nobody knows how much radiation escaped from Three Mile Island.
Harvey is not a specialist in logic. If no one knows how much radiation escaped, then how can he assert that people died? It doesn't make sense, but that doesn't matter. Making sense is not part of his stick.
Nobody knows where it went. and nobody knows what the impact was. I went into the central Pennsylvania area a year after the accident, and I conducted dozens of interviews with people who were clearly harmed by the radiation from the accident. There were cancers.
I'm no oncologist, but I would be willing to bet that there are few specialists in cancer who would be willing to say that a cancer caused by radiation would be apparent within 1 year after the supposed radiation dose.
Leukemias, birth defects, stillbirths, hair loss, unexplained lesions, rashes. It was like being in the middle of a post-Hiroshima nightmare. And the reality is that the nuclear industry continues to deny that anyone was harmed, and all the serious indicators show that, in fact, people were harmed. There's a 2,400-person, or family, rather, class-action lawsuit that was filed in the 1980s that's still pending. The federal court system will not allow the people of central Pennsylvania to have an official hearing on the health impacts of this accident.
There was a trial. The court resolved that by throwing out the plaintiff's case. If you're interested, you can read in excruciating detail the various arguments offered by the plaintiffs, the people that were suing, and the court's finding that none of the evidence was substantial or supported the case that the plaintiffs were trying to bring. Here's some words from in the legalese. Viewing all evidence before the court in a light most favorable to plaintiffs, the court finds the evidence insufficient to create any material factual dispute and insufficient to carry plaintiff burden of proof at trial. Plaintiffs have neither presented direct evidence that they were exposed to doses of radiation greater than 10 rem, nor have they presented indirect evidence capable of supporting the inference that they were exposed to cancer-inducing levels of radiation. Accordingly, the court will grant defendants' motion for summary judgment in its entirety. The parties to the instant action have had nearly two decades to muster evidence in support of their respective cases. As is clear from the preceding discussion, the discrepancies between defendants' proffer of evidence and that put forth by plaintiffs in both volume and complexity are vast. The paucity of proof alleged in support of plaintiffs' case is manifest. The court has searched the record for any and all evidence which, construed in a light most favorable to plaintiffs, creates a genuine issue of material fact warranting submission of their claims to a jury. This effort has been in vain. That's pretty clear to me. The court heard the evidence, heard expert testimony, and found that the theories on why the plaintiffs should be considered victims and eligible for monetary compensation had no basis in fact. In other words, the court case was thrown out. That decision was signed by Judge Sylvia Rambo in June 1996.
And yet the industry, which wants to build new reactors, continues to spread the lie that no one was killed at Three Mile Island. It's utterly false.
Harvey, I was a young reporter, actually, at the Philadelphia Daily News in 1979 when the accident occurred. And I remember vividly the debates in the newsroom among the reporters as to whether they would want to go and cover the, because they had to travel to Three Mile Island, which was about a couple of hours' drive away. And the thing that struck me most was the lesson I learned. The greatest lesson I learned is that in major accidents, crises like this, you cannot depend on government officials to tell you the truth, because they kept changing the story day after day.
Once partially right here, when you have political appointees or elected officials put in positions of responsibility and put in positions where they're asked about technical matters, it's no surprise that they don't often know what they're talking about. In fact, people who did things like order evacuations in a time when the measured radiation doses were essentially background, were simply fomenting fear and causing people stress and actually putting them at risk of negative health effects that they wouldn't have been at risk at if they had simply been told, we've measured the radiation doses, they're not dangerous, remain calm, and we're taking care of the problem. But people who are not technically trained and don't have specific expertise can't do that. They don't know how. They're politicians or appointed government officials. I think one difference between today and what was true back in the 1970s is we no longer have Nuclear Regulatory Commission commissioners who are history majors or English teachers. Those were apparently Peter Bradford's qualifications to be a nuclear regulatory commissioner, that and his friendship with Ralph Nader.
As to the nature of the release, and as you say, there's still not a clear sense of what the extent of the release was. What has been the continuing health effects on those on the communities closest to the accident, as far as you can tell?
Well, in fact, there's just been two new studies released in Harrisburg this week. One indicates that as much as 100 times more radiation escaped than the government and the industry have been willing to admit. And the other is that these statistics clearly show ongoing problems of cancer, leukemia, other radiation-related diseases. The fact of the matter is that the country, this is the best known, the most infamous industrial accident in U.S. history, and yet the industry and the government refuse to get to the bottom of the situation. You should count yourself lucky that you didn't go there. Many journalists who did go to central Pennsylvania suffered significant harm.
I'd like to see the health records. Show me the effects and prove to me that the people who went to cover the story suffered harm. There are numerous studies that dispute that assertion. I've got some links on the Atomic Insights blog, and I'll copy those links onto the Atomic Show blog to show you where the studies are and what they really say about the effects of the very minor levels of radiation, radioactive materials that were released into the environment from Three Mile Island. Yes, there was a meltdown. Yes, the damage to the core was substantial, but the plant did not release its toxic burden to the environment. It did exactly what it's supposed to do, which was contain the accident within the boundaries of the plant. After going on for a little bit longer about the imaginary deaths that were caused by the accident, Harvey and Amy Goodman turned to the discussion about new nuclear power plants. One of the things that's very apparent in reading a lot of stories about the 30-year anniversary of Three Mile Island is that smart, questioning attitude people are recognizing that if the industry has managed to operate for 30 years without having another accident, that maybe it's really time to open up the processes and think about building new nuclear power plants to reduce the emissions from coal, oil, and natural gas, to reduce our dependence on burning oil and burning natural gas in power plants, and to potentially expand the markets for nuclear power into other areas that are currently supplied by fossil fuel. So the discussion on Democracy Now! Turned toward the discussion of new nuclear power plants. And one of the things I keep reminding those of us who are fully supportive of the idea of building new nuclear power plants is that there are plenty of people like Harvey Wasserman who are well organized, and despite the fact that facts are not part of their arsenal, they are fighting hard to prevent the construction of nuclear power plants and any other nuclear technologies. And if they had their way, they would shut down the currently operating nuclear power plants, which supply 20% of the United States' electricity, more electricity produced every year than all of the power plants in the U.S. did combined in 1960.
After all these years, the nuclear power industry cannot get private financing to build new nuclear plants.
Financing is difficult for all large projects to get at this point, but nuclear power industry has invested several billion dollars in the processes for building new nuclear power plants and will continue to invest and develop the projects and make the commitments at the time they're necessary to make. Private financing is available, as evidenced by the bidding war over Constellation Energy that included a $4.5 billion investment by Warren Buffett and then a higher bid by Electricité de France.
They cannot get private insurance to guarantee against an accident like Three Mile Island.
Not true. All nuclear power plants have a $300 million insurance policy that guarantees them against accidents like Three Mile Island. And in addition, all participate in a privately funded pool that will provide resources of up to $10 billion to pay for the results of any accident. That's more than enough to cover anything anywhere close to what Three Mile Island did.
And then now that the Yucca Mountain waste dump has essentially been canceled, there, after a half century, there is no place for the high-level nuclear radioactive waste to go from nuclear power plants.
It's time for another logical question. If we've been operating nuclear power plants in the United States for 50 years, where is the waste that they've already generated? Is it a problem? No, it's stored safely and securely on the same site where it was generated and has not caused anyone any harm anywhere around the country. The waste is safe and secure. It will remain safe and secure for the foreseeable future, and when it becomes time to do something else with it, we'll take that step when necessary. It's not even waste. It is potential fuel material. Fully 95 to 97% of the initial potential energy remains in those used nuclear fuel rods. Harvey Wasserman is full of...
It's a catastrophe, and yet this industry continues to push itself and to claim a nuclear renaissance. What they're now doing is they've gone into states like Florida, Georgia, and the Carolinas, demanding that ratepayers pay for new reactors before they're even built.
What a concept. The people who are going to benefit by the construction and operation of clean, reliable, affordable electricity sources should save up and pay for those facilities before and as they're being built, rather than simply borrowing all the money and continue to borrow until the plants are fully constructed. I'm amazed. It's shocking to think that somebody might actually believe that it's better to pay for things as you go rather than to borrow the money and let the interest accumulate before you start paying. Amazing. By the way, I hope you heard the dripping sarcasm with that comment.
And you know, so this is an ongoing struggle, and at the heart of it is what happened at Three Mile Island and the continued denial of this industry of what really happened, which is massive radiation releases and death and other harm to people in the area and, of course, to the local animals.
If you happen to be someone listening to The Atomic Show who's not convinced one way or the other, please listen to the claims being made by this leading anti-nuclear activist. Read the official results, read the scientific studies, and tell me if you really want to believe the kind of drivel that Harvey Wasserman keeps putting forward, keeps repeating.
Harvey Wasserman, what does President Obama's support for nuclear power actually mean? And also, you mentioned Georgia. The Georgia Public Service Commission approved earlier this month two additional nuclear reactors for Georgia Power, which is this the first time nuclear power plants will be built in some 30 years?
Yes, and we think we're going to stop them. As I said, we've stopped the $50 billion.
What Wasserman is referring to there is the defeat of the nuclear loan guarantees as part of the stimulus package. It is an example to show you that the forces aligned against nuclear power remain strong, remain politically active, and are not going to give up easily. So they need to be fought.
We are continuing to fight these new reactors. I think ultimately we can stop them, but it requires full information to the general public. People have to know what really happened at Three Mile Island and have to understand that we have stopped the nuclear industry significantly over the past 30 or 40 years of activism. In 1974, Richard Nixon said there'd be 1,000 nuclear plants in the year 2000, and we've kept it under 120. Way too many still. There are 104 reactors now operating in the United States, but every one of them could be melting as we do this interview.
But the reactors aren't melting. And if we had continued building at the pace that we achieved in the early 1970s, we would have 1,000 nuclear power plants operating in the United States, and they wouldn't be supplying 20% of our electricity. They'd be supplying more like 80% of our electricity. We would no longer be burning coal to produce electricity in the United States. We would be not burning natural gas in our electric power plants, freeing up that natural gas for direct heating or for chemical companies as raw materials, or even for compressed natural gas vehicles like those that T. Boone Pickens advocates. So those people who fought and continue to fight against nuclear power have achieved some victories. And what they've achieved victories for is the coal, oil, and natural gas industry. I hope they are proud of themselves for their achievement.
And there's absolutely no place in the future for nuclear power. The Obama administration has got to come to its senses and stop this discussion of building new reactors.
On this 30th anniversary of the worst nuclear power plant accident in U.S. history, an accident where the plant did what it was supposed to do and prevented the spread of radiation outside of the plant boundaries, the plant prevented anyone from getting hurt, and where there was no impact to the public other than that caused by the ignorant behavior of the elected and selected government officials who didn't really know what was going on. What I hope that it happens is that those of us who support the development of nuclear power in competition with combustion from fossil fuel as an energy source for the future devote as much energy and resources and dedication to the fight for nuclear power as those who are opposed to it have devoted against it. We need to fight, we need to battle, and we need to explain to the public just why they should be listening to us. We can use as much passion as the folks that fight, because we really are in a battle for human prosperity and human survival. We need reliable energy in order to support the growing population of people, or even to support the population of people that already exist. That's the lessons I take from the fact that it's been 30 years and the fact that we have done an awful lot of learning over those 30 years and documenting the lessons. If you have some extra money or some extra time or both, please go and visit tpn.thepodcastnetwork.com/pledge and put a few dollars into the kitty that helps keep the servers operating and the bandwidth flowing so that you can continue to have access to independent media like The Atomic Show. Have a great day, and if you miss The Atomic Show when I take a break, let me know. Show me some love. I'm missing hearing from all of you. Take care. Good day.
There's a way, a way, such a better way. Today, today. Raise your voice, tell the world there's a better way. Today, there's a better way. Ooh, there's a way, such a better way. Today, today. Now raise your voice, tell the world there's a better way. The way is the Adam's way.
You're listening to the Podcast Network. Listen, learn, evolve.